The title is When God Was Alone. And when we look at it, we have that beautiful verse in Psalms 90 and 2, before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you were God. It's very difficult for our finite minds to understand that our Heavenly Father has existed from before time. He is also referred to as the eternal God in Deuteronomy 33 and 27. The word eternal has the meaning of lasting or existing forever without end. As we do today, I decided I would Google when God was alone. It was interesting that 95% of the respondents stated that as God was a triune God, being three in one, he could never be alone. Only one theologian came back with the answer that he was alone, with no beginning or end. The scriptures show that God was the architect of all creation. The writer of the Hebrews, speaking about Abraham, said he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Can you stop and think for a moment what was involved in the planning of the creation? Scientists claim that there's 500 billion stars in our Milky Way, plus their planets and moons. It should be total chaos, and yet this does not happen. Before man knew how the stars moved, God had told Job, "Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades? Can you loosen Orion's belt? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons, or lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth?" This did not happen by accident. There was great thought in the design of the universe and how each part would interact before it could be created. In Job 9, we are told God hung the stars in the sky, the Dipper, Orion, Pleiades, and the stars of the south. Brother Russell wrote, "By their numberless multitudes, orderly grouping, continual yet never conflicting movement, perfect harmony and magnitude, and mutual benign influence, do the shining hosts of the heaven declare the glory of God." Bringing the design closer to home, we see that there is this incredible design in our own solar system. All the planets, their moons and the sun have to be in perfect harmony with each other for Earth to be inhabitable for mankind. We are not given much information on the design of our solar system, but we are given the details of the order of creation of this Earth, and how each part of creation was planned, and that each stage had to be completed before the next stage could be started. Can we imagine the design work to bring this about? The Bible tells us in Isaiah 40 and 22, describing God as he who sits above the circle of the earth, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Certainly, from space, Earth does look like a circle, a ball which in Job 26 and 7 is described as hanging on nothing. Although the world does appear as a circle, it actually stretches as the tides rise and fall every 12 hours and 25 minutes. All this is important as the tidal surges provide food at the sea's edge. Every living organism relies on water to survive. The planning for this had to be done before any living creature could be created on the earth. How this was achieved was not understood until the 17th century. Even great minds like Da Vinci and Galileo were frustrated by their lack of understanding. Yet God had told Job how the water cycle worked in chapter 36. For he draws up the drops of water, they distill rain from the mist, which the clouds pour down, they drop upon man abundantly. God also describes how the clouds can hold water, and yet it does not rain. When he stated, he wraps up the waters in his clouds, and the cloud does not burst under them. Job 26 and 8. Often in Australia, the clouds will go right over the land without dropping any rain. They call this clouds without tears. And of course, the reason for it is the land is so flat till you get just to the east coast when they are lifted up and they pour their waters out. Solomon, with all his wisdom, did not understand fully this cycle and wrote that all the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full to the place where the rivers flow. There they flow again. Can we imagine the design work that went into every minute detail to prepare for the creating of the universe and especially the earth to be inhabited by man? At some time in the past, God decided to share his plan. He created the Logos, his only begotten Son. He was the sole and unique creation of the Father. And there are clues to when this happened, or more correctly, at what stage in God's plan and timetable. We are told about Christ in his pre-existing. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being in John 1 and 3. Paul, speaking about Christ to the Colossians, stated, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him, in Colossians 1, 15 and 16. So it is clear that Christ was the only direct creation of the Father. And Solomon, writing about Christ, stated, from everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the depth became fixed, when he set forth the sea, its boundaries, so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. These verses and others show that Christ was created before any of the other beings or the creation of the heavens and the earth. We see the special relationship between the Father and his Son as they set out the plan for mankind. And we read, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Revelations tells us that before the earth was formed, mankind created, that the Heavenly Father and his Son realized that man would fail a test and that a Redeemer would be required, as we read, and all that dwell on the earth shall worship him. His names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In John's Gospel, there are several verses where we are told that Christ voluntarily came to pay the ransom. And we read, "For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down of my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I read received from my Father." Of his own free will, we're told, he gave up all he had and took on the nature of a servant in Philippians 2 and 7. Brother Russell wrote, "No man took it from him in the sense that no man had the power, since God had promised that he that keepeth the law shall live by it." And further on he wrote, "He submitted in Gethsemane, not because he must, but because he was voluntarily submitting himself to death, steadfastly refusing to yield to any appeals from his flesh to escape or lessen his suffering." Returning to when God was alone, the question is, if you have eternity, does time matter? For many of us, sadly me included, we often put off tasks to the last minute. In Isaiah, God stated that from the beginning, I predicted the outcome. Long ago, I foretold what would happen. I said that my plans would never fail, that I would do everything I intended to do. Time did matter to our Heavenly Father, as Solomon wrote. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their hearts, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. The appropriateness time, or in due time, shows that God's plan was precise. Three verses support this. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time." The setting for mankind started on the first day of the creation with the placing of the sun and the moon. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. We see that the day was divided into two parts. The solar day was set at 24 hours, and the earth's orbit around the sun at 365 days, 6 hours and 9 minutes, requiring a correction in the calendar every 4 years. The lunar month is 29 and a half days, and the Jewish calendar uses the lunar months to set the times for the various festivals, and in particular for the Passover. Solomon reminds us that to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Adam Clark wrote the following: God, by his providence, governs the world and has determined particular things and operations to particular times. In those times, such things may be done with propriety and success. But if we neglect the appointed seasons, we sin against his providence and become the authors of our own distress. Yes, there was a time when God was alone, a time of great planning to benefit mankind right down through the ages. He determined that time, and may God add his blessing.